that your desire to truly live for Him? That's my desire. That's my desire tonight. I trust it's your desire. Well, it's come time to give the thanks, and I certainly want to give our thanks to this church, this congregation. Thank you, first of all, for the invitation to come, for my wife and I to come. Well, I know we're just a young couple. We really are young. We really are. And we're trying to make ourselves think we are older than we used to be, but we're just a young couple. But thank you for the confidence and the invitation to come. We've certainly enjoyed it. Thank you for the accommodations. Boy, we have just loved being up above the garage over there at the Montgomery's, their prophet's chamber. That has just been a great privilege to be there. She stocked it well and even put some of her fudge there, and I fudged a little on my diet with that fudge, but it was such a delight and beautiful accommodations and such great hospitality. Thank you to the Montgomery's for their provisions, and thank you for the meals. We've had a wonderful time with the Ziegler's in sharing with them and fellowshipping with them, and thank you for the meals. Thank you for the offering. Wow. I told him that we're going to have to stay on another week and preach again for another week. Of course, you probably wouldn't want that to happen, but thank you for the offering. I think my wife also wanted to grab a broom somewhere and start sweeping and work a little bit, but thank you so much for the offering. Very generous, and we thank you for it. Thank you for supporting you people. Thank you for coming night after night. Thank you for your attendance. Thank you for your kind words, and I trust I've said something that's been beneficial in your spiritual walk. My prayer song this year that I've kind of used in my Bible, I've made a copy of it, and that is, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." And every now and then I read that song in my devotional time. But as I was thinking about this revival, the phrase and the verse stood out to me, "Take my lips and let it be filled with messages for Thee." And I trust that God has used me as an instrument to speak His truth to your hearts. And something that I've said will stick with you and will bring fruit. I also want to give a special thank you to Sister Esther Dennis. She has done a great job. And I married my wife knowing she didn't play the piano. I married her. Unlike my home pastor, Brother Doddrell, he asked his wife if she played the piano. She said, "I had 7 years of piano lessons." But she still couldn't play. But I married Sherilyn knowing that she couldn't play, and that is fine with me. But we have sang with many pianists, and probably 19 or more we've sang since we've been married. And Sister Dennis has just done a wonderful job, and I want her to know how appreciative I am of her services to us. And last but not least, the Ziegler's. It's been such a real privilege to be here with them. And appreciate their lives, their testimonies, their commitment to the conservative holiness movement. As you don't have to travel too long till you begin to see some people that are making changes and going a different direction. But you all are blessed here at this church to have the Ziegler's and the Ziegler family. It's a ministry. It's a family ministry. Brother Ziegler gets up and preaches. Maybe Sister Ziegler does every now and then. I don't know. But it's a family ministry. When a pastor, a preacher goes to take a church, it is a family ministry, and you're blessed here to have the Ziegler's. And I know that next month is Pastor Appreciation, and I just want to challenge you to lavish great love upon them. Brother and Sister Ziegler and the children, lavish great love upon them. You're blessed to have them here. Well, tonight, this is the last service. I'm calling your attention tonight to two books, two passages of Scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and Isaiah chapter 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 6. A few months ago, I began a series at Burlington Bible Methodist Church, and I called the series Prayers That Get Affirmative Answers. And, you know, growing up in church, we were always told that God always answers prayer, right? He always answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's maybe or wait. But God always answers prayer, doesn't He? But But I believe that there are, just as there are certain questions when you ask, you young people, if you ask your parents, can I clean my room? You know the answer, right? The answer is yes. You ask your boss, can I work overtime without the extra pay? You know, there's just some questions that get yes answers. But in the same way, I believe that there are certain prayers that are prayed that always get yes answers. And in the series I preached at Burlington, I've noticed the prayers, Lord, draw me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, guide me, Lord, cleanse me, Lord, search me. All of these prayers, you can be certain that God's going to answer yes. He's going to answer to those requests. He will draw near. He will forgive. He will direct our steps. He will cleanse. He will search us. But for tonight, this is not really, I don't know if I would classify it as a sermon, but maybe just a closing challenge. I want to notice the prayer for a little while. Lord, use me. Lord, use me. Let me ask you young people tonight, do you desire to be used of God? Do you wish to be a person that God can use to accomplish His plans and His purposes in your life? The songwriter penned the words, Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble, though the cost be great. I'll work for you. I trust it's your desire, you young people's desire, to have the Lord use you. I believe the prayer, Lord, use me, should be the daily prayer for every young person that is here tonight. Every person that's here. But for you young people, I believe it should be the daily prayer. Whether it's said verbally or whether it's expressed in the attitude or your actions, Lord, use me should be the daily prayer of the young person. While the words that comprise this simple prayer, Lord, use me, are never found linked together in Scripture, I believe looking at Scriptures, there are many examples that prove the reality of this unrecorded prayer. Notice quickly, by way of introduction, several individuals who allowed God to work through them and thereby accomplished great things. In Noah's day, Noah allowed God to use him to construct a boat, and the human race was saved. In Joseph's day, a famine was plaguing the land, but Joseph allowed God to use him to store up food from seasons of plenty, and his family was spared from the famine. In Moses' day, the children of Israel were enslaved in the land of Egypt, but Moses allowed God to use him to lead the children of Israel, and the captives were set free. In David's day, the Israelites were terrorized by the fear of the giant, but David, again, allowed God to use him to defeat the enemy, and the Israelites prevailed and were victorious. On and on we could go with these stories, but I believe you get the picture. Many things were accomplished, as you read through Scripture, many things were accomplished as the individual, the young person, allowed God to work through them. But how does an individual become usable to God? How do you young people become someone that God can use? How do you and I become an instrument? How do we become an instrument in the hands of God to accomplish His plans? I want to look into God's Word for our answer. For the Scripture proofs, we're going to look at these two different passages. First of all, for the springboard passage, let's turn our attention to 2 Timothy. The book of Timothy is a letter from Paul to Pastor Timothy. Pastor Timothy is the spiritual son of Paul and is a young man. And in this letter, it is a letter of encouragement and it's a letter of advice. But in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, Paul is admonishing Timothy concerning several things. One of the admonishments found in verse 2, where Paul tells Timothy, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here in this verse, Paul is encouraging Timothy to pass on the things that he has learned to others, who then they can in turn pass it on to others. Paul here in this verse is very interested in the message of truth being transferred from one generation to another. Let me pause and add that this too must be of extreme importance to us in our day. We are seeing in our society And in our church movement, the unfortunate breakdown of passing the holiness heritage on at the generational crossroads. As I was studying this down in the Sunday school room prior to church, across the hall, the children were singing the Holiness of Heritage song. Brent Vernon wrote that verse that said, "We have been given something that does not contain a price." We here in the conservative holiness movement have a great privilege of being a part of that conservative holiness movement. But it must be very important, it must be high priority in our lives that we pass that holiness heritage on to the next generation. Now, with that thought in our minds, I want us to skip down to verse 14 and read through verse 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul writes, "Of these things," here Paul is referring to the admonitions that he has just given, "put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Isn't that a great promise? "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Now notice verse 21 as a text for this truth. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." In this text, we see a glimpse of what is necessary to be used of God. Paul very clearly is speaking of the concept of being an individual that is used of God. He shall be meet for the master's use. First of all, in this text, notice the condition. Prior to an individual being meet for the master's use, there is a condition that must be met. This first phrase must be a part of our consideration. Paul says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these." This conditional clause, look at the word "these." What exactly is Paul referring to when he says the word "these"? "If a man therefore purge himself from these." According to the Beacon Bible Commentary, there's some uncertainty to what Paul is referring to here, but there is the possibility that Paul here is referring to the false teachers who were promoting erroneous doctrine as the vessels of dishonor mentioned in 21. But secondly, in this conditional clause, notice the action. Paul says, "If a man purge himself." The Greek word here for purge is ekathairo, and it means to cleanse thoroughly. This word is used only one other time in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And in this verse, Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers, and he says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump." Here, Paul in this passage, in the Corinthian passage, is stressing the importance of being cleansed from sin so that you may be made pure. So back in our passage, Paul is telling Timothy that to be meet for the master's use, there must be a thorough cleansing of that which is impure. Other translations render that phrase "ready for the master's use," serviceable to the master, suitable for the master's use, fit for the master's service, profitable for the master. Once the purging takes place, then the individual can be used of God. And this is a very important lesson for us to learn. God does not want to use a defiled instrument. If you young people want to be used of God in this day, in this society, in this culture, God will not use a defiled instrument. Now, having discussed this passage, I want to take you over to the sister passage in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is a very familiar account. Let's read the first 8 verses in Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. We have described for us in these first eight verses five things I want to call to your attention. We'll just look at them briefly, and then we'll close with three different things I want to share with you. First of all, notice in this passage the revelation of God and His holiness in verses 1 to 4. In this passage, Isaiah caught a glimpse beyond the temporal world where he was living and into the world beyond. And he caught a glimpse. He saw a vision of the Lord. What was it he saw? In this vision, Isaiah saw the Lord on a throne. We must not hasten by this point without stopping, saying, Oh, that we here tonight would catch this glimpse of God in our day. For our day, for this generation, it is critical to our faith that you and I remember that our God is still on the throne. Our God is not on vacation. He's not asleep. He's on the throne tonight. And He's on the throne and is able for your situation. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up. He was exalted, and the seraphim worshiped, saying, Holy, holy, holy. Isaiah had received revelation from God. But secondly, in this passage, not only a revelation of God, but there is the realization of self and sin. Verse 5. Once Isaiah sees the vision of a holy God, his impurities are exposed. His sin is uncovered. And consequently, with great condemnation, he cries out, Woe is me, for I am undone. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And young people, tonight, when we see God for who He really is, we will also see ourselves for who we really are. You know, far too many people compare themselves with others. Scripture tells us that this is not wise. But if we compare ourselves to the devil, the worst sinner looks pretty good, doesn't he? But never should we be about the business of comparing ourselves by ourselves. Rather, we must be comparing ourselves to God's standard for us. And Isaiah, in this passage, was troubled at his condition when he saw the Lord. Then there was a realization of self and sin. Thirdly, this passage shares with us the removal of sin and impurity in verses 6 and 7. After Isaiah sees God, after he sees himself, he then cries out to God. And as a result of that crying out to God, a cleansing takes place. And the seraphim says, Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged. Thank God for the remedy of sin. Thank God for the removal of sin. Zechariah 13:1 says, In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. I rejoice tonight in the fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge and lose all their guilty stains. We too, as Isaiah did, can have sin removed. The fourth thing I notice in this passage is the recognition of need and service. Following this purging, following this cleansing that Isaiah had, Isaiah's ears are opened and he hears the voice of God. God is calling out, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Could it be that some people don't hear God's voice in our day as clearly as they should because there is sin in their life? Would there be more people seeing the need and hearing the call if their lives were cleansed from sin? Perhaps so. Perhaps so. Isaiah heard the call once his sin was removed. But finally in this passage, I see the response of consecration and surrender. Isaiah responds to the beckoning call of God with a simple statement, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah surrendered his life to be used of God. Essentially, in this passage, Isaiah was praying the prayer that gets the affirmative answer, "Lord, use me," and God did. So, young people, if we pray the prayer, "Lord, use me," what does this imply? As I try to bring this down and put it on your level, "Lord, use me," what does this imply for you when you pray that prayer? From these two passages, I notice three things that being used of God implies. First of all, it implies a sanctification. Both passages that I have looked at tonight, 2 Timothy and Isaiah, have dealt with the action of purging. Young people tonight, if you're going to be an individual that wants to be used of God, there must be a work of grace in your heart that removes the sin from your life. No matter how much the evangelical world tries to do it, grace and sin do not mix. And if you want a life that is usable to God, there must be an abandonment of sin. And I want you to know tonight, God has the grace available for you. If you want to be used of God, God has the grace to change you. God has the grace to forgive you. God has the grace to cleanse you. God has the grace to make you over. But if you want to be used of God, there must be a sanctification. Secondly, to be used of God implies not only a sanctification, but there must be a surrender. Isaiah said, "Here am I." This statement of Isaiah was his permission for God to do anything he wished with Isaiah. Have you made the surrender to God? Have you given God permission to use your life in any way that He chooses? The songwriter wrote, "Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far I know, so let Him bid me go or stay." If you want to be used of God, young people, you're going to have to surrender your life over to Him. As I was thinking about this part of surrender, my mind went to an occasion several years ago that my wife Sherilyn had. And I did not chat with her about this, so I may not have all the details correctly. She can correct me on the way home. But several years ago when her granddaddy Agin was in the hospital and dying, the doctor came to the family and told them that the news was not good. That Granddaddy Agin was not going to be around for long. And so the family began thinking about whether or not, you know, you have all these decisions that come along with these things of talking to the family. And the family kind of discussed it among themselves and thought, well, if he's not going to be here long, let's just not tell him the news and let's just let nature run its course and so forth. But the doctor said that he didn't agree with that. He thought that Granddaddy Agin ought to know. He ought to know what was happening. So the doctor said, "I'll tell him." And so the family was outside and the doctor slipped in beside Granddaddy Agin, and he leaned down to Brother Agin and he said, "Brother Agin," he said, "we're losing ground." And Granddaddy, who knew that doctor very well, they were close friends, he looked up at him and said, "No, doctor, we're not losing ground, we're gaining ground." And it was an emotional time. The doctor slipped out of that room and the doctor came and began talking to the family. And all of a sudden it kind of dawned on Sherilyn. Here, Granddaddy had just received this bad news and nobody, no part of the family is in there with Granddaddy. And so she began feeling sorry for him. And so she went in to be with him and during this time, and it was an emotional time. But Granddaddy looked up at Sherilyn and he said, "Sherilyn, there's not one hair on my head that waves against the will of God." And young people, that is the essence of surrender. That is the essence of surrender. Not one thing in me. Granddaddy Aiken, he didn't have much hair on top of his head. But what he did have, he said, not one of those hairs waves against the will of God. And young people, if you want to be used of God in this life, it is going to be a complete surrender of everything that you have. Everything you are is going to be a surrender of yourself to God. Finally, to be used of God not only implies a sanctification and a surrender, but to be used of God implies a service. Following Isaiah's words, here am I, were the two words, send me. What was Isaiah saying? He was telling the Lord, not only am I surrendered, I'm here to be used in your service. I'm here to be of service to you. And young people, I must remind you that God's call for us as Christians is a call to serve. Not to be served, but a call to serve. I read not too long ago of Julie and Bob Clark. They were stunned to receive a letter from their church in July asking them to participate in the life of the church or worship elsewhere. In a trend that may signal rough times for Wallflower Christians, megachurch faith community of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, has asked non-participating members to stop attending. No more Mr. Nice Church, says the executive pastor. He was newly hired from Singular Wireless. He said, bigger is not always better. Providing free services indefinitely to complacent Christians is not our mission. He said, freeloading Christians were straining the church's nursery and facility resources and harming the church's ability to reach the lost, says the pastor. He said, when your bottom line is saving souls, you get impatient with people who interfere with that goal. So, Faith Community sent polite but firm letters to families who attended church services and freebie events but never volunteered, never tithed, and did not belong to a small group or other ministry. The church estimated that of its 8,000 regular attendees, only half have volunteered in the past 3 years, and a third have never given to the church. A staff member said, before now, we made people feel comfortable and welcome and tried to coax them to give a little something in return. They said, that's changed. We're done being the community nanny. Wow. I would classify that as extreme, and I wouldn't recommend that philosophy for any church. But I believe the point that I want to make is given in that illustration. Far too many people would rather get than give. And young people, if you're going to be used of God, you're going to have a heart of service. Not what can I get out of this, but what can I give for God? Songwriter wrote, I have a yearning in my heart that cannot be denied. It's a longing that has never been satisfied. I want this world to know the one who loves them so, like a flame, it's burning deep down inside. The chorus is my testimony, to be used of God, to sing, to speak, to pray. To be used of God, to show someone the way. I long so much to feel the touch of His consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. In closing, I share this illustration with you. Niccolò Paganini was a great Italian violinist. He willed his fine instrument to his home city of Genoa, but his bequest carried one condition. The violin was never to be played. It was simply to be placed on display. But as you know, and I know, that's not good for a finely crafted stringed instrument. It needs to be used and handled regularly if its beauty and value are to be retained. As a result of Paganini's request, his marvelous violin has become nothing more than just a decaying form in a museum. It has wasted away as a museum piece. And young people, as I close tonight, I believe it is possible to profess the name of Christ, to profess the name of Christ, and yet refuse to allow Him to use you. But I, for one, tonight, I choose to be used of God. I choose to be a vessel that God can use for His kingdom. I choose to be a channel that He can flow through to pour out His grace to other people in this world. I want us to stand together. I want Sister Dennis to come to the piano. I want us to sing, "I Will Serve Thee Because I Love Thee." This has been a different type of ending, but I wanted to challenge you young people to be used of God. Whatever avenue He chooses to ask you to work in, maybe it's the Good News Club. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's helping out at the nursing home service. Whatever other ministries you have here at the church, I want to challenge you young people to get involved in the ministry. Allow God to use you. You are building things right now that was going to serve you the rest of your life. If you choose to allow God to use you, God will use you. But you have to give yourself to Him. And what I want to do tonight in closing, I want to make a general, specific call. Does that make sense? Just want to give a general call to the children and young people that if you want to be used of God, I want you to come up front. You can kneel, stand, whatever you wish to do. But I want you to recommit to yourself, to others, and to God that you want to be an instrument that He can use. Will you do that for me? Let's sing this chorus through. And if you have a desire to be used of God, I want you to gather around the front. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was not. Sing it through one more time, but I want those that are the older ones back here that did not come, I want you to gather around these young people. Maybe you want to gather around a grandson, a granddaughter, a son, or a daughter, but I want you to gather in as we sing the chorus one more time, and at the conclusion of that chorus, I want Brother Ziegler to come pray a prayer of blessing that God would honor this request, that there is so much potential here in this group. You hear it every time you get together. You young people hear it every time when you go to youth gatherings and youth camps and youth challenge. There's so much potential, but the reality is there is. If you are sold out to God, this group of young people could change the world. You really can. It's not just a statement. You really can. And so let's sing it together. You elders, gather in around those you would wish to pray with. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. I was not. Given life to me. continues to play, Brother Ziegler will pray a prayer of blessing on these young people.
Father, we thank you tonight for the sight that we have been privileged to see this evening. Thank you, Lord, for every one of these young people. You know the needs that they have. You know what they face. And Father, you're fully aware of their potential as well. I pray that you would bless them today with your presence. I pray that you would bless them today with your grace, your mercy. I pray that you would, in the midst of the storms and the toils of life, give them a renewed, fresh taste of your love to them and your strength that is always sufficient, your grace that is always sufficient. Bless them, Lord, with your hand of mercy. Bless them with a heart that is seeing needs around that would stretch them into areas where they can be used of God, beyond the comfort zones that they may find themselves in. I pray that, Lord, that you would give them a heart to serve you. Give them a heart to be pleasing to you in service. Father, I ask that you would sanctify the heart. I pray that you would help the heart to be surrendered. We ask simply, Lord, tonight for your blessing upon each one. Young ladies and young men, their various potentials, various places of responsibility that you want to call them to. Lord, I pray that you would help them to rise to the occasion, to step up and to be what you would have them to be able to do your work, not by their own strength or even by their own desire, but through your grace and strength that they find available to them every day. Bless them, I pray, with your presence, not only today, but as the days unfold. Lord, that you would guide them and lead them and direct them in Jesus' name, that they may be able to go from this place with a new sense of responsibility towards Jesus Christ and your cause, your kingdom, your service, I pray. We give it to Jesus and we give them to you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Shake hands. Wonderful message we've received and heard tonight. Let's take it to our heart and go rejoicing in the Lord's presence this evening. The Lord bless you.